The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. Welcome back to my humble abode. We're going to get into it today. This is a good one. And I'm praying that it really opens your heart to some stuff. So the message today is suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Okay, let's open up a word of prayer and then we'll get into it, shall we? God, I thank you for your grace, your love for us, God, the love that sent your son to die for us. And we're going to get into that today. God, I pray that you will make us aware of the sufferings and aware of the price that was paid for our salvation. Thanks, Father. Thanks. We ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's read the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Christ, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Now, here is where the creed changes tone. Okay? Before, up to this point, we've talked about creation, hope, miracles, the coming of Christ to earth, but now everything slows down. This is where the creed gets heavy. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. This is the center of Christianity, not the manger, not the miracles, the cross. Now, people wear crosses everywhere, around their necks, on bracelets, on church buildings. But we forget something, and that is that in the first century, the cross was horrifying. Nobody in the Roman Empire wore a cross as jewelry. That would have been like wearing a miniature electric chair around your neck. The cross represented shame, pain, execution, and death. If you were living in Jesus' time and you saw a cross, it was shame, pain, execution, and death. There was a bunch of ways you could have been killed, but the cross was a public spectacle, and it meant suffering. And it was an agonizing way to die. In fact, one historian said that humanity has never come up with a more brutal way to die than the Roman cross. Think about that. Think of all the ways we've come up with to kill people, and none of them has been as brutal as the Roman cross. But Christianity took the symbol of pain and death and shame, and we made it a symbol of hope. What changed? Because of what Jesus did there. The reason we look at a hope, the reason we look at a cross with hope is because my Savior died there, and then he was buried and rose again. So look at the statement again. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. So we're going to dig into this today, and I'm telling you, hold on to your seat. First of all, Jesus truly suffered. Isaiah 53:3, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. So, a key truth you need to grab here. Jesus did not float through life untouched by pain. See, in our minds, it's easier for us to think that Jesus was on this, I've said it before, on this deified little plane, that he walked like 3 feet above the ground, and that nothing, you know, he didn't step on Legos. He didn't step on rocks. He was just going about his merry way, and nothing ever touched him. But that's not true. He suffered physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And yes, emotionally. Imagine looking down and seeing your mother. You're nailed to a cross with nails. You're going to die. Everybody knows you're going to die. You're in the process of it. And looks down and sees his mom. You tell me that doesn't hurt emotionally? I understand. Look, I understand that he was obedient, went to the cross. I get it. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. I get it. But that doesn't take away the emotional suffering that Jesus had on the cross. I just found a book. I've been looking all over for it. I just found a book that I read in college. It's called A Doctor at Calvary by Dr. Pierre Barbet. He was a French physician, and he went through the sufferings of Christ on the cross. I can remember being in college and lying across my bunk, just bawling my eyes out. I'm going to read it again, because sometimes we need that reminder of how much Jesus suffered for us. Sometimes we forget. We picture Jesus being untouched by any emotion, but the Bible tells us Jesus wept. He grieved, he agonized. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was under such stress that Luke says his sweat became like drops of blood. That's suffering. Have you ever noticed how pain isolates people? When you're hurting deeply, you kind of feel alone, like nobody understands. This is one of the reasons why this matters so much, because Jesus understands suffering firsthand. We said it last week. Jesus was fully human. He walked where we walk. He knows what our hurting is like. Hebrews 4:15, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So, when you go through, when you suffer, you're not talking to a Savior who is distant from pain. You're talking to one who's walked through it himself. He's not distant. He's right there with us. He understands. Now, here's an important part of the Creed too, and we just kind of throw it away. Under Pontius Pilate, why does the Creed include Pilate? Yeah, we know the story, but why does it include him? Seems oddly specific, doesn't it? Here's why. Because Christianity is rooted in history. Oops, went the wrong way. Christianity is rooted in history. See, the key truth is that this really happened under a real Roman governor, in a real place, at a real moment in history. Suffered under Pontius Pilate. Everybody knows who Pontius Pilate was. And if you're a historian, you know the time period when Pontius was ruler over Israel. A Roman governor. You understand that. That's there. And then he brings out the real place. And it just shows you, hey, look, I'm not just saying once upon a time there was this guy. I'm saying this happened under Pontius Pilate, and if you want to quote Yogi Berra, you could look it up. You could visit the places. You could study the records. You can examine the evidence. Look at Luke 2:1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. Why did Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem? Because Augustus said they had to. The book of Luke especially constantly anchors events to rulers and places and timelines. Why? Because Christianity is not mythology. It's reality. Your faith is not built on wishful thinking. It's built on historical truth. So when the Creed includes suffered under Pontius Pilate, they wanted you to know this really happened, and here are the dates you can look it up. By the way, people always talk about, oh, well, yeah, you believe the Bible, but, you know, man wrote the Bible, who knows? Look, there are tons of references outside the Bible that refer to Jesus and his death and his resurrection. People who weren't Christians. People who were just merely historians of the day and that documented it. Third thing, he was crucified. Now we come to the cross itself. And honestly, I think we're a little too familiar with it. We sanitized the cross. We made it into polished gold. But crucifixion was brutal. The Romans designed it to maximize suffering and humiliation. I said it a little while ago. It was public. It was slow. And it was agonizing. So why did Jesus die on the cross? So many other ways he could have been sacrificed. He could have been cut down by a sword. The soldiers in the Garden of Eden could have just cut him down. He could have been stoned by the Jews anytime they wanted. Why did God let Jesus go to the cross? Because sin is serious. Sin has real consequences. Sin costs a real cost. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinning, Christ died for us. And look, the cross shows us two things at the same time. The horror of sin and the depth of God's love. This is, when I think of all the ways that Christ could have died, where he wouldn't have had to suffer so long, when it wouldn't have been so humiliating or agonizing, the fact that it was shows how much God loves us and how far he was willing to go to save us. Little boy asked a Sunday school teacher, why did Jesus have to die? The teacher explained sin and forgiveness the best way she could. The little boy thought quietly for a moment and said, so Jesus took the punishment instead of us? Teacher smiled and said, yeah. The boy said, that's the best trade ever. And he was right. Jesus died a slow, agonizing, humiliating death for us, so we could have eternal life. That is indeed the best trade ever. So, Jesus died for us. Okay? This is the heart of the gospel. He didn't just die. He died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. There's some wacky math going on there. Jesus never sinned. He died a horrible death, a humiliating, painful death on the cross for our sin, so we could be made right with God through Christ. Jesus' death on the cross plus our acceptance of his forgiveness equals eternal salvation? See, the cross was substitution. Jesus took our place. Oops. You were in court. You were guilty. No defense, no excuse. The sentence is about to fall, and someone steps forward and says, I'll take the punishment. That's what happened on the cross. See, we talked earlier about how the cross in Roman times meant humiliation and pain and suffering. But for us, the cross means your sin has been paid for. It's not ignored. It's not excused. Paid for. That's huge for us. God doesn't excuse our sin. He doesn't ignore our sin. because of Christ's death, he understands that it's paid for. Let that sink in for a minute. The next part, died and was buried. And the creed emphasizes this carefully. Why? Because Jesus truly died. Okay. And? Well, there are theories, believe it or not, that say that he only fainted. He wasn't really dead, like the Princess Bride. He was mostly dead. The disciples imagined it. But the creed leaves no room for that. He died. He was buried. And again, understand, Luke talking about all these historical things that were later, they were also backed up by local historians. It happened. He died. He was buried. They made sure he was dead before they put him in the tomb. In fact, they had to make sure you were dead before they took you off the cross. And there were people who lasted days on the cross. Funerals make death feel real. You can deny a lot of things, and I've seen it. Boy, I've seen it. I've seen more death scenes than I ever want to see again. I've been parts of autopsies. I've been parts of scenes where people killed themselves or were killed or died in horrible ways. And the family doesn't want to believe it. I get that. It's a human emotion. We don't want to believe that our loved one is dead until the day of the funeral. And you see them in the casket. You see them lowered into the ground. That tomb, that confirms the reality of death. Make no mistake about it, Jesus died and he was buried. Jesus entered fully into human death so he could defeat it completely. He had to die in order to pay for our sins. Because what are the wages of sin? Death. But he could defeat death completely because he rose again, which we'll get to next week. The love of God at the foot of the cross. Now, don't rush past this. The cross was not an accident. Jesus said repeatedly this is why he came. The disciples didn't want to believe it. John 10:18, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. You read stories of firemen running into a burning building, or cops running into a burning building to save a person. We call that heroic love. Now multiply that beyond imagination. Jesus willingly walked toward the cross. All right? Stop right there. He was a kid growing up in a Roman-ruled society. They didn't invent crucifixion when they put Jesus on the cross. He'd seen it. He'd seen it a bunch of times. Can you imagine being 12, 13, 15, 20, 25, and then as you get closer to the day, walking past a hill and seeing crosses on it and thinking, that's where I'm headed. He knew exactly what was waiting for him. And he still went through with it. I don't understand that kind of love. I just don't. I know that God has it. I put my faith and my trust and my hope in it. I just don't understand it. When you wonder whether God loves you, look at the cross. Because the question of whether or not God was loved you was settled there forever. Do not cheaply think, oh, you know, God doesn't love me. That's why all this has happened to me. Come on. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. That pretty much settles it. So let's bring it all together. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. This means He truly suffered. He truly died. It's a well-oiled machine. Jesus willingly took our place, and Jesus fully paid for sin. He truly suffered, truly died, willingly took our place. What did we read earlier? Nobody takes my life. I lay it down in the time and place of my choosing. That's Jesus. I've told this story before, and it just always grabs me every time it happens. There's an old story about a bridge operator responsible for lowering a railroad bridge when ships pass through. So one day he brings his son to work. As they spent the day together, the father became distracted and suddenly realized a passenger train was coming, and coming fast. But the bridge is still open. He rushed at the controls. Then he saw that his son had fallen into the gears below. He had to make a terrible, terrible choice. Save his son, or lower the bridge and save the passengers. What do you do? Sacrifice is going to be made. One or a bunch. With tears streaming down his face, he lowers the bridge. The train passed safely. And the passengers never knew what it cost. They wave at him as they cross the bridge. Meanwhile, he's grieving for his son that he sacrificed for their lives. And they didn't even know. The story breaks our hearts because sacrifice always does. When somebody sacrifices for us, it hurts. And it hurts us because we see what they did. We know what it cost them. And in Jesus' case, it cost him his life. In God's case, it cost him his only son. And look, God was faced with the same thing that a bridge operator could. When he saw his son suffering, he could have said, you know what, that's it. I'm not going to go through with this. He could have sent angels to get Jesus off the cross. But he kept his hand on the lever because we needed salvation. He kept his hand on the lever because you needed salvation. Don't ever take the cross lightly. At the cross, God didn't sacrifice his son accidentally. Gave him willingly for us. In fact, read that again. God didn't sacrifice his son accidentally. He gave him willingly for me. Again, and I keep saying it because we could hide in the corporate us, right? Well, he came for the world, yes. No. He came for Jerry Godsey. He came for Jeremiah Vick. He came for all of you that are watching and listening to this. He came for all those that are not listening to this. He came for you. So, the cross is not just a symbol. It's an invitation. An invitation to repent, to believe, and to receive grace. Wow. That cross you wear around your neck, that cross that adorns churches, that cross that we become so used to seeing. You can see it on people singing and saying some of the most anti-God things you'll ever imagine wearing a cross. It's a piece of jewelry to them. I don't want the cross to ever be something we don't understand. I don't want it ever be a place where I look at it and say, oh yeah, cool, a cross. No. I'm going to look at a cross and say, wow, that's where my Savior died for my sins, for me. See, when you see the cross, don't just see suffering. See love. See mercy. See Jesus saying, I would rather die for you than live without you. What is a cross? Jesus saying, I'd rather die for you than live without you. That's got to bring something to our hearts. It's got to do something to us. Let's look at the discussion questions for this week. Buckle up, Buttercup. Why is it important that Jesus truly suffered and died? What does the cross teach us about sin? Think back. What does the cross teach us about God's love? And how should the cross change the way we live daily? See, if you fully take in all the things we've talked about this morning, what the cross means, what it did for us, that's going to change the way we live on a daily basis. Why? Because our lives are not our own. They were paid for with a price, a huge price. And God thought it was worth it. Wow. This has got to ruminate in your heart for a while. This has got to really kind of make you focus on who you are and what you are and why. Next week's message. He descended to the dead on the third day. He rose again. See, we've gone through the rough part of the crucifixion. Next week, we get to the joyous part. We get to the part that gives us hope, gives us love. Look, I've said it before. I don't want us to just get used to the cross. Remember hearing a story about a missionary who was speaking to some African women in their village and told them about the death of Jesus. And one of the women went running out of the building, screaming, crying, weeping, sobbing. Missionary's wife tracked her down and said, "What is wrong? What is wrong?" She said, "I don't ever want to hear that story again. It's too horrible. He didn't deserve that. And they killed him anyway." When you see a cross, that's what it means. He didn't do anything. And they killed him anyway. And because of that, we have eternal life. Because of that, our sins can be forgiven. Think about that this week. Pray about that this week. Let this just ruminate in your heart. All right? This is a tough one. And it should change what we do daily. If it doesn't, we're just people in the train, waving as we pass the guy on the bridge, not understanding fully what cost was paid for our lives.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You've been